In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, lesson number 20, Original Sin. The image at the beginning of this lesson shows an angel, I guess, at the gates of the Garden of Paradise, casting Adam and Eve out. They're wrapped in animal skins and cast out, walking through. Looks like thorns and thistles. And the caption under that says, God punished Adam and Eve for the sin they committed, and the Lord God sent him out of the paradise of pleasure to till the earth from which he was taken. From Genesis 3:23. All the calamities in the world today, war, disease, poverty, etc., are consequences of Adam's sin. We inherited all the weaknesses that were part of his punishment. What happened to Adam and Eve on account of their sin? On account of their sin, Adam and Eve lost sanctifying grace, the right to heaven, and their special gifts. They became subject to death, to suffering, and to a strong inclination to evil, and were driven from the Garden of Paradise. Adam and Eve immediately lost God's abiding grace and friendship, their holiness and innocence. They lost sanctifying grace. This was the worst punishment. Having lost sanctifying grace, they lost the right to heaven, to see God. They lost their special gifts. They became subject to suffering and death. Their minds and wills were so weakened that they became inclined to evil, subjected to temptation. Quote, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the earth out of which thou wast taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. From Genesis chapter 3, 16 through 19. I find this quite interesting because I was just listening to a talk on a YouTube channel. I don't know exactly who it was, but the scientists are gathering, talking about evolution and the Big Bang and different things, and they brought out the materialistic attitude, I guess you will, of scientists, you know, from Darwin, evolution, it's a materialistic evolution. Marx was on a social agenda, again, it's materialism. Then Freud in psychology was, again, a materialistic attitude or outlook. And so I see in all this that mankind's intelligence has been blinded by original sin. Not only have we lost sanctifying grace, we've brought in suffering, but I think our intellectual capacity has let us become truly blinded in this false materialism, looking for answers in the material world around us and rather than in the spiritual world. Okay. God expelled Adam and Eve from the garden. Did we read that one already? Yeah. From the Garden of Paradise. And the Lord God sent him out of paradise of pleasure. From Genesis 3, 23, 24. Some wonder how the eating of one fruit could have been so grievous a crime. We must remember that God gave Adam and Eve every blessing. He only required them, as proof of their faithfulness, to abstain from eating the fruit of one tree. Doubtless, paradise was filled with trees having more delicious fruit than the forbidden tree. Pride and disobedience and ingratitude caused them to sin. They defied God and despised His threats. They wanted to be as powerful and great as God. I came across that question. I can't remember who was asking me, It appears such a trivial thing to eat the fruit, and why was the punishment so severe? And I pointed out that the sin was not in eating the fruit. That was an indifferent thing. The sin was in their disobedience. It was simply because God said, don't do this, and they did it. The act of doing it, you know, is really indifferent. It's not a big deal. The big deal is that it was a defiance, a disobedience to the will of God. Okay. What has happened to us on account of the sin of Adam? On account of the sin of Adam, we, his descendants, come into the world deprived of sanctifying grace and inherit his punishment, as we would have inherited his gifts had he been obedient to God. Quote, therefore, as though one man's sin entered into the world and through sin death, and thus death has passed into all men. Romans chapter 5:12. This sin in us is called original sin. It is the state in which every descendant of Adam comes into the world, totally deprived of grace, though inheriting the punishment, not of Adam's personal sin, but of his sin as head of the human race. This sin is called original because it comes down to us through our origin, from Adam. Thus, all men are born in sin, that is, they are born without the friendship of God and with no right to heaven. Original sin does not come to us from Eve, but from Adam alone, since God made him representative and head of the whole human race. Eve was punished for her disobedience, as Adam was, but did not pass on her guilt to all mankind. Our original sin comes from our first father. Because of original sin, heaven was closed to all men until the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord instituted the sacrament of baptism in order to restore to us the right to heaven that Adam had lost. A person after baptism is in the state of grace and free from sin. If he dies immediately after baptism, even if he had committed sins, he goes straight to heaven. His sins and their punishment are all forgiven him. All right, I think that last sentence a little bit confusing there. If he dies immediately after baptism, even if he had committed sins, he goes straight to heaven. That is, if the sins were committed for baptism, baptism has washed them all away so he can go to heaven. But if he sins after baptism, he will have to do penance for those. Lost something I was thinking about there, but I can't recall it now. Okay, wanted to finish that sentence first. Great. So I guess we will continue. Oh, about the evil in the world all around us, we see that in the spiritual realm, the sin of Adam has brought us into a state of darkness. We are, I guess, even less than animals, because the animals are materialistic, they do not have an immortal soul, and so they act accordingly, irrational animals. But man, who is a rational being, and he lost this supernatural grace, this enlightenment, his intelligence is weakened, his passions are set loose, so in the spiritual realm, he is striving to become like the animals, the materialistic aspect of them, but he actually falls beneath them. He becomes worse than a brute beast because he is an intelligent being. The sin of man makes us closer to devils than it does to the irrational animals. And sin is the absence of something that should be there. So we were made to have sanctifying grace, and sin is that void that is created by sanctifying grace. And so since the sin of Adam, everything is in this, as we in science they call it, entropy. Everything is disintegrating. Everything is falling apart. And that is the absence of some good that is there. So we see this entropy this lack of something that is good, and it seems to be compounding itself. I grew up listening to the elders all telling me it's never been this bad before. 50 years ago it was so much better, and I find myself basically in the same frame of mind now. When I used to laugh at those old people, it surely can't be. But yes, it does seem things are getting worse, or they are worse now than they have ever been before. And in science, that term is entropy. Everything is disintegrating, everything is falling apart. And we see that in the material world around us, but I think even more importantly, we see it in the supernatural realm, in the spiritual realm. So much that is illogical, so much that is unnatural. The scientists, the world around us, society is telling us this is all good. As I pointed out, the transgender movement is a lie. It is a disease, if you will. It is unnatural. It is not logical. It is not an improvement, but it is a degradation in society. So the society that promotes this is promoting an evil, an absence of some good that should be there. And I really see those who are trying to become the opposite gender as making a statement that God has made a mistake, or that God doesn't exist, God got it wrong, so there cannot be a God, and they're blaming their perversity upon God. And they see themselves as this unjust victim that God has somehow punished by putting them in the wrong body, because they're male and they're in a female body, or they're female and they're in a male body, and therefore God got it all wrong, he made a mistake, therefore there cannot be a God. And in their misery, they're going to force everyone to believe their lie, that falsehood. And they're looking upon everything as being really this materialistic outlook, if you will. We'll continue here with the lesson. Oh, go ahead.
Yes. There are so many millions and millions of people, and even here just in our own country, who are not baptized, have never been baptized. So doesn't that help with the compounding too?
That's even a greater evil than the materialism that we're facing. But I guess that is really the consequence of the materialism, because the materialist only believes in physical things and not the supernatural. So without supernatural grace, it is the blind leading the blind. And so, yes, those who are not baptized do not have sanctifying grace, and, as I mentioned, are living in this sin. They are beneath brute animals. They are more like devils than they are human. They are closer to devils than they are to the brute, irrational animals. It's not that they're irrational, it's that they're using their intelligence in an evil manner to destroy, to tear down, because basically that is what sin is doing, driving out that which is positive and good and leaving this void, this emptiness. Those who are living in the state of sin are not happy. And I challenge you to look at the Pride movement or all the stuff they're promoting this month. Do you think those people are really happy? When you observe it, they may put on a good show, but if you look closely, you can see they're not really happy. They're miserable. And they're miserable because they're looking for physical, material satisfaction, affirmation, and it's not there. Their hearts, as St. Augustine says in his confession, were made for God, and their hearts are restless. They've turned their backs upon God, and so now they're tormented, they're miserable, and they're never going to find happiness unless they return to God. They're looking for this happiness on a material level, and the devil is there telling them that pleasures, self-indulgence, all this will make them happy. It gives them a moment of pleasure, and the devil has trapped them, but what their soul is really longing for is eternal happiness. It's longing for God, but they're not going to find it because they've exchanged true happiness for passing pleasure, material pleasure, rather than supernatural or spiritual happiness. Okay, we'll continue on here. What are the chief punishments of Adam which we inherit through original sin? The chief punishments of Adam which we inherit through original sin are death, suffering, ignorance, and a strong inclination to sin. By original sin, we became subject to disease and death. This was part of the punishment God laid on Adam. In what days soever you shall eat of it, you shall die the death, from Genesis 2:17. Our whole nature became inclined to evil. Our reason is in perpetual conflict with our passions. Even after our souls are cleansed of original sin by baptism, the corruption of our nature and other punishments, such as sickness, evil inclinations, etc., remain. The imagination and thought of man's heart are prone to evil, Genesis 8:21. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, from Genesis 5:17. I mentioned that those with gender dysphoria, they're confused about their gender, are like the little children whose imaginations are very vivid, and they can imagine and pretend. But it is a disease, I guess, because of their sins, that they want to make this fantasy of theirs into a reality. And so the imagination and thought of man's heart are prone to evil. Is God unjust in punishing us on account of the sin of Adam? God is not unjust in punishing us on account of the sin of Adam, because original sin does not take away from us anything to which we have a strict right as human beings, but only the free gifts which God in His goodness would have bestowed on us if Adam had not sinned. Okay, so we do not have a right to these graces, to these privileges, and so God is not unjust in taking them away from us because of our sin, or because of Adam's sin. Because He didn't take anything away from us that we have a right to. All mankind must suffer for the sin of Adam because he was the head and representative of the whole human family. So we're not suffering in the place of Adam, but we're suffering with him or in him, because we are all his children. In much the same way, the ruler of a country represents the whole people. He declares war or makes peace, and the people are affected by his acts. When Alfonso XIII of Spain was dethroned, his children lost their right to the throne through no fault of their own. So also the children of a rich man who goes bankrupt loses all the inheritance they hoped for through no fault of others, through no fault of theirs. We should have shared in Adam's blessings of soul and body without any merit of our own if he had not sinned, in the same way we share in his guilt. If Adam had not sinned, we would have been born in the state of holiness and grace that had been his. Each man, however, would have been free to commit actual sin and to be cast into hell. However, not being the head of the human race, he would not have transmitted his sin to all mankind. Was any human person ever preserved from original sin? The Blessed Virgin Mary was preserved from original sin in view of the merits of her divine Son, and this privilege is called her Immaculate Conception. And when the angel had come to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." St. Luke chapter 1, 28. From the very first moment of her conception, the Blessed Virgin was preserved from all stain of original sin. She was conceived and born without original sin. God, having ordained that Mary was to be the mother of His Son, could not permit her soul to lack for a single instant all those graces that would make her most pleasing to him. Our Blessed Mother's soul was created as pure and spotless as the soul of Eve. Where Eve committed sin and lost her spotlessness, our Mother Mary kept herself pure and spotless to the end of her life. We commemorate the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary on December 8th. Last paragraph. St. John the Baptist was cleansed from original sin while he was still in the womb of his mother. He was born free from sin, but he was, like us, conceived in sin. You see that at the Visitation, when the Blessed Mother carrying our Lord within her womb visited St. Elizabeth, the mother of St. John, and she had St. John in her womb, and the scripture records for us how the babe, St. John the Baptist, leapt in his mother's womb and was sanctified at that moment. And so that's one of the favorite questions I like to tell children about when we discuss this, is that we are all born with original sin, except for the Blessed Mother, and of course they point out Christ was not born with original sin. And I say St. John the Baptist was not born with original sin. He was conceived in sin, but he was sanctified in his mother's womb, and so he was born without original sin. Okay. Any questions, comments?
Okay. So when we hear people speaking, like as you said about, you know, everything is such a material thing, we can see how clearly that it's false. It's false teaching, it's false reasoning and understanding, because, you know, they're